This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilu fala hadiya lahu. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات ربه وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن دعا بدعوته إلى يوم الدين أما بعد beloved brothers and sisters in Islam السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته Today's topic which is وسيلة and شفاعة And what do these terms mean? And it's in fact a continuation of our last lecture on whether the dead can hear us and respond to us. It deals, although they are subjects on its own, they in fact fall within the subject matter of Tawheed. And we know that Tawheed is the very foundation of our deen. That it deals with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Tawheed has three components. The first component is Rububiyyah. Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. The second one is Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah. The third one is Tawheed al-Asma wa al-Sifat. I'm sure all of you came across this while you were at madrasa in your teen years, but let's just reflect quickly on what this means, because it will give you a backdrop as to the discussion we had last week and the discussion now concerning what is wasila and shafa'a. First of all, what is tawheed al-rububiyyah? Tawheed al-Rububiyyah refers to the lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It refers to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the creator, for example, and as the nourisher. When you say Rabbul Alameen, Lord of the universe, it means that he is the sustainer, he was the creator, he is the sustainer, and he's the Lord of the universe. We believe that. That is part of our Tawheed. Nobody else shares in that. Of course, you can write volumes and volumes on it, but this is basically. So the first ingredient or characteristic of Tawheed is Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. You can hear the word Rabb in there, al-Rububiyyah. The second ingredient of Tawheed is Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah. You can hear the word ilah in Uluhiyyah. This refers to worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's part of your Tawheed to believe in. Number one, if you make dua, you only make it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's part of Tawheed. If you include anybody else in your dua, ask anybody else, it is called shirk. Salah is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so forth and so on. All the ibadat that we do and make is only for Allah. That is the tawheed of uluhiyyah. The tawheed al-sifat, asma wa-sifat, is the tawheed of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah la ilaha al hayy al qayyum, and so forth and so on. All these are all the names of Allah. Only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, if we say hayy, Allah is alive, then it means Allah is alive before, after, and forever. If we give that characteristic or that sifa to anybody else, we are committing shirk. For example, if you say somebody else can also live forever, somebody else is also alive forever, somebody else. Then we are making shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only Allah is hay, alladhi la yamut, the living who will never die. So if we say somebody else also will never die, then what are we committing shirk? In the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we say our rizq comes from somewhere else besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is shirk. Because all our rizq comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we can, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that there are others who will be there on the day of Qiyamah, from whom we can expect some assistance, that there's other rahmah that will come to us? No. Only rahmah of Qiyamah is a rahmah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is Rahman ar-Rahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, كَتَبَ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ. Allah has made mercy fard upon himself alone. He is the merciful. And if we say others can also forgive our sins, or we can have our sins forgiven through somebody else, then we are committing shirk. Because it is only Allah. وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ ذُنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. None can forgive except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, we can ask Allah. We can ask somebody, please make dua for me, Allah must forgive me. Yes. But the one who makes and gives the forgiveness is who? Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, what does al-wasila mean? The word wasila. This word wasila has many meanings. But it essentially means the desire. It's a desire, it's a wish. Wasila is a desire or a wish to reach an objective or to achieve something. What does it mean in terms of our deen? And what does it mean in terms of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, alayhi salatu wa sallam? Because we say after, isn't it, after every adhan, Allahumma rabba hadhi da'wati tamma wa salatul qa'ima, ati Muhammad al-wasila, ati Muhammad al-wasila, grant Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam al-wasila. What is this wasila that we ask Allah to give to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? In fact, it's called Maqamul Wasila, the station of Wasila. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the highest station in the Jannah. We ask who? Station can only be occupied by one. Just one person can occupy the highest place in Jannah. المكان الأعلى في الجنة الفردوس الأعلى. The highest station in the Jannah, al-Firdaws, which is the highest Jannah. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what does he do? He asks us to ask Allah. He asks his ummah to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For what? For that wasila. He says, you know, when you hear the adhan, إِذَا سَمِعْتُمُ النِّدَاءُ فَقُولُوا مِثْلَ مَا يَقُولُ الْمُؤَدِّنُ. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says in the hadith, when you hear the adhan, then repeat the words of the muaddin after the muaddin. إِلَّا فِي حَيَا عَلَتَيْن. Except when the muaddin says, حَيَا عَلَى الصَّلَاةِ حَيَا عَلَى الْفَلَاحِ. So when the muaddin says, Allahu Akbar, you say, Allahu Akbar. When the muaddin says hayya ala salah, what do we say? We don't say hayya ala salah. We say la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says these words, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, is kanzun kunuzil jannah. Kanzun min kunuzil jannah is a treasure of the treasures of paradise. And the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, man qalaha min qalbihi. The person who says, who repeats after the muaddin the words of the muaddin, except in hayya ala salah, hayya ala falah, if he says it from the heart, dakhala al-jannah, you will enter paradise. Subhanallah. You see, paradise is very easy, my brothers and sisters. Provided the tawheed is right. Tawheedul uluhiyya, tawheedul rububiyya, tawheed al-sifat wal-asma. If that foundation is solid, you can go to Jannah just by saying La ilaha illallah. Because foundation is solid. But if there's a crack in that foundation, a crack of shirk or bid'ah, you can build a palace on there of tahajjud, of zakah, of fasting. It will crumble into dust. Because the foundation is weak. There's cracks in it. So the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked his ummah, please ask for me. Please ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for me. There are people, of course, who, mainly because of lack of knowledge, when they go to Medina or even here, they ask the Prophet to give them wasila. They ask the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, please, Ya Rasulullah, give us wasila. They don't understand that this wasila is only for Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And we must understand that when we ask the Nabi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we make dua to Allah, Ati Muhammad al-wasila, when we say those words, and Allah accepts that from us, inshallah, ameen, then what do we get in return? What do we get in return? There's always a return from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the return is that we will be eligible for what? For the intercession, the shafa'ah of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of Qiyamah. But if we ask the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for wasila, then we spoil our chances of getting the shafa'ah of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Because we're committing shirk. By asking the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are committing shirk. This wasila, so that is the major meaning of wasila, the high station in the Jannah, highest station in the Jannah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also talks about another wasila in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you people who believe, do your duty to Allah. Ittaqullah. Taqwa means to do your duty, your salah, your zakah, your hajj, you be good to people, be nice to people, preach the truth, speak the truth, love Allah, love all His creation. Wabtahu ilayhi alwasila. And Allah says, seek a way to gain al-wasila. Oh, and taqarrabu ila Allah. Seek a way to gain nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now there's some ignorant people who say that this wasila means you must find somebody who can bring us close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, dead or alive. And mainly the spiritual movements, it's all about the dead people. It's all about getting the dead to be your wasila, to bring you close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is, of course, complete shirk. All the ibadah is batil. If you believe like that, all the ibadah is batil. And then somebody came to me one day in the masjid when I spoke about this, and he said to me that you won't come to Jumu'ah anymore. So I said, why? He said, because he said, you speak about people committing shirk when they choose a wasila of a very great person, a saint, for example, a wali for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we don't believe like that. This man was a doctor. He was a doctor. I say to him, brother, it's not what you think or what you do. He says, oh, of course. Oh, he says, you know, since I've joined this group, I'm now making tahajjud at night, which I never did. I'm making my 5 times salah. I'm paying my zakah on time. You know, I've grown a beard, wear kurta, and so forth and so on. I said, brother, that is no indication. You know, when shaitan has won you, when he has won you over, when you're on his side, he's very clever, the shaitan. What does he do? He makes tahajjud easy for you. He makes payment of zakah easy for you. He makes salah easy for you. Why? Because he wants you to think that it is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he knows it's not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because he knows you're wasting your time because the foundation is wrong, you're making shirk, he encourages you. It's like the man who was sleeping and the wall was going to fall on him. And shaitan came and he held up the wall, and the man woke up and he's somehow or other he asked shaitan, he said, you know, why are you saving my life? I mean, I've been cursing you my whole life. He says, I didn't want you to die now because you will go to Jannah if you die now. You haven't come over to my side. And maybe I want to give you more time to come over to my side. Because if you only commit one act of shirk, Allah will not accept any of your deeds unless you read your shahada and you make tawbah. So what is this wasila that Allah speaks about? Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullah wabtaghu ilayhi alwasila. This wasila is, and all the mufassirun, Tabari and Ibn Kathir, these are names that you know, all the mufassirun, the people who explain the Quran, says that wasila here means to get close to Allah, bita'ati wal amal bima yurda. All of them agree that the interpretation of this wasila is to come near to Allah by obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and by deeds which Allah is happy with and pleased with. So how do we get close to Allah? To be obedient to Allah and to do things which Allah is pleased with. Allah is pleased with salah. Allah loves salah. Allah loves you to read the Quran. Allah loves you to make sadaqah. Allah loves you to love your parents, to be good to your parents. Allah loves you to make tahajjud in the mornings. Allah loves these things. These are the things that Allah loves. When you get close to Allah, that's how we get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are many examples of people who've used their good deeds to get close to and to also make dua. Ya Allah, I ask you to give me health or to cure me from my illness because I was a very good child to my parents. I did this for my parents. I did that. You can plead to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the good you do. Oh Allah, I pray 5 times a day, Ya Allah. Through my salah, please accept my dua. Oh Allah, I get up for tahajjud, Ya Allah. Please accept my dua. So all your good deeds. I've just given somebody 5 rand at the robots, Ya Allah. Accept it from me. I did it from nobody knows. I gave it only you, Allah. Only you know. Nobody knows. Ya Allah, I make a lot of dhikr. Say, Lord, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah. This is how you get close to Allah. Say, Allah, I'm an obedient servant. Are you allowed to ask somebody else to make dua for you? Of course. You're allowed to ask any person to make dua for you while you are alive and he's alive. The moment he dies, you can't ask him anymore. Whether he's a prophet, a saint, or whatever. And of course, just to repeat what I said before, we don't have sainthood in Islam. The word saint doesn't exist in the Arabic language. We don't have. these saints and the veneration of saints and the building domes over saints came via the Romans, the Persians, by the Romans and the Greeks to Persia, and from there came into Islam via Sufism. We don't have saints. Mother Teresa, when she died, they canonized her and anointed her as a saint. So she can even do miracles while she's dead. And I don't know what else they can do. The same concept was adopted because we don't have saints. We never call Abu Bakr a saint or Umar a saint. No. They're Sahaba. But the Sahaba, radiallahu anhu. So, when there was famine in Medina, so you can ask somebody else to make dua for you. When there was famine, what is famine? Famine is there was no food, no rain, no crops were growing, people were starving. And so they came to the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to ask to make dua for them. Prophet made dua for them. Allah gave them relief. If anybody can come to me with one hadith which is authentic, where a person asked the Nabi in his grave, a Sahaba, not us, where any Sahabi asked the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, spoke to him in his grave and asked him for something. Or, even better, the person who was most beloved to the Nabi alayhi salam was Aisha. Where was the Prophet buried when he died? He was buried in the home of Aisha, the home where he stayed next to the masjid. Is there any narration to say, no, she loved him and he loved her? One would have thought Aisha would sit there by his grave and talk to him. Not once did she do that. There's no report that she ever did that. Or I told him, ask him, yeah, you know, I'm lonely, etc. You know, take my loneliness away or speak to Allah. And no. Aisha was a woman of absolute tawheed. If you go to Sahih Bukhari, go to Hadith 1010. 1010. In this Hadith, there was famine in Medina, like it was in the time of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, alayhi salatu wasalam. And Omar called the people together and said to the people, he raised his hands and he said, oh Allah, when your prophet was alive, we used to ask your prophet to ask you to give us relief during times of famine. What did he say? He made it very clear to the people that during the life of the Nabi alayhi sallam, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to make dua for the relief of famine, drought, poverty, or whatever else calamities struck them in Medina. He made that statement. But he says, oh Allah, we're now going to ask Abbas, the cousin of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the closest relative of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we're going to ask him to make dua on our behalf for relief from the famine in which we find ourselves. And Abbas then stood up and made dua. They didn't all gather around the grave of the Prophet. And say, we do this via the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Bijahi Muhammad. You've heard this. I mean, at one masjid in Cape Town, they say, Ya Rasulullah, unnur halana. O Prophet, look at our condition. They say, Ya Rasulullah, unnur halana. Astaghfirullah. That is putting the Nabi on the same level as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The only person that looks out at our condition and can see our condition is who? Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now you are even taking it to see, you're saying the dead person, Nabi Sallam is dead. Somebody dies, he's dead. His grave, his body is in the grave in Medina, but his ruh is alive and his ruh is not in the grave. The ruh, we know, was taken by Malak al-Maut to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The heavens is the place of the arwah and the earth is the place of the body. And his body, of course, is intact. And the same as the day that he passed away. But the ruh has left the body of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the ruh is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what I said last week, when we put salawat on the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what do we say? Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Oh Allah, you put salawat on the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then you have to interact with the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends that salawat to the Nabi alayhi as-salatu wassalam. Then we go to the hadith before 1010. In Bukhari. What is the hadith before 1010? 1009. That hadith also says that the Prophet, the people used to go to the Nabi during time of famine and they used to ask the Nabi to make dua. After that, not a single Sahabi, including the Sahabiyat, the lady Sahabis, Sahaba, particularly his wives, not a single one of them is to go to the grave of the Nabi alayhi salatu salam. Because they were told by Abu Bakr, Man kana ya'budu Muhammadan fa inna Muhammadan qad mat. Those who say that Muhammad, those who worship Muhammad, Muhammad is dead. And those who worship Allah, Allah will never die. When Umar said, anybody who says Muhammad is dead, I will kill him. And he swore out. Nobody believed him. Because everybody knew. The Prophet said, I am going to die. All of you are going to die. Allah promises us that in the Quran. Kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut. So the one hadith leads to the other hadith. Yes, to ask a living person to make dua for you is tawassul. Meaning, you use him, you ask that person to make dua for you. You don't ask through him, you ask him to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will say Allahumma. And of course, as we know, even if you did ask the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can't hear you and he can't answer you. Why? Because Allah says so. Because I say so. Last week I gave you all explanation from the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says so. In the beginning, we know the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited people from going to the maqbara. Kuntu qad nahitukum an ziyarati al-qubur. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I used to prevent you from visiting the graveyard. Prophet said, I didn't prevent you from going to the graveyard and making dua for the dead people. No. He said, I prevented you from visiting the graveyard. So what is the sunnah? To visit the graveyard. Why? Why didn't Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say, now I tell you, you can go to the graveyard and you can read Yasin there and Tabarak and you can make dua for the dead. He didn't say any one of those things. He said, Ala fazuruha. He said, I used to prevent you from going to the graveyard. Now I raise that restriction. Fazuruha. Now you can go and visit the graveyard. Sahaba asked, why? Why must we visit the graveyard? If there's nothing to do in the graveyard, why must we visit the graveyard? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, because the graveyard will remind you of the Akhirah. It will remind you of death and remind you of the Akhirah. That's why you must go and visit the graveyard. Listen, my dear brothers. Listen, my sisters. This is your deen. This is the purity of your deen. This is it. This is it. You've heard what the Tawheed is. You can't mix. The sifat of Allah is hay. Only Allah is hay forever. Only Allah is alive forever. If you say anybody else is alive forever, you are mixing, you are giving a sifat of Allah to a human being, which is shirk. Only Allah is those sifat. Human beings only have the sifat of hay when they're alive, when they're on the dunya, when they have the ruh in them. Once the ruh leaves them, they are dead. Period. So, before I go, I want to, in conclusion, I want to quote two ayat of the Quran, which I have quoted before. But if I could quote it every week to you, I will do that. The first quotation is from Surah Al-An'am. But maybe before I get there, I wanted to explain something else to you. Mark, give me a second. Let me do these two verses first. This is from Surah Al-Furqan. And you can see, my brothers and sisters, this is our book. Irrefutable evidence. Absolute truth. There are people today, of course, who say there's no such thing as absolute truth. When you speak to the people who are in the, have their own little group, they do what they do, the other group does what they do, and the other group does what they do, then we're breaking ourselves into smithereens. Let's see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says will happen on the day of Qiyamah. Surah Furqan, verse 17 and 18. Two verses. What does Allah say? وَيَوْمَ يَحْشُرُهُمْ وَمَا يَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, on the day of Qiyamah, I will bring together. Who will be brought together? يَوْمَ يَحْشُرُهُمْ I will bring together those who worshipped other than me. And we know what worship means. It doesn't mean just to make salah to somebody. It means making dua through somebody. That is also ibadah. Because you're putting that person in the place of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So before it gets to Allah, let's go via him. You're putting him in effect above Allah because you first go to him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah will bring together those people, dead or dead, those dead people, obviously. Min dunillah. Those that you worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fayaqulu, and Allah says, and Allah will say, A'antum adlaltum ibadi. Allah will say to the, what we call the awliya, or the great people, who have passed away. Allah will say to them, did you mislead my people? Allah will say, oh, to one so and so, and Wali so and so. That's what we name them on the dunya. Allah will say to them, did you mislead these people? Amhum dallu sabil. Or did they go astray by themselves? What Allah wants to know, what was the input of the dead wali? How did he influence you? Speak, tell me now. Because here they are, going to tell me that you were the one who misled them. قَالُوا سُبْحَانَكَ. Those people who were dead on the dunya and who we asked for and did through Allah, they will say Subhanak. They will say, glory be to you. Oh Allah, glory, Subhanaka. Glory be to you. مَا كَانَ يَنْبَغِي لَنَا أَن نَتَّخِذَ مِن دُونِكَ مِنْ أَوْلِيَا. Use the word awliya. Allah knew we were going. They're going to use the word awliya. Allah mentions in the Quran. Allah doesn't mention another name. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the awliya will say, what we call awliya, they will say, مَا كَانَ يَنْبَغِي لَنَا. Why? They will say, ya Allah, why? We have no need to take anybody besides you as our friends. We have no need to take anybody besides you as a friend. We will not take anybody, the awliya will say, we will not take anybody else. They are the awliya themselves. We call them awliya. They say to Allah on the day of Qiyamah, ya Allah, we will not take, besides you, astaghfirullah, we only have you as a protector, our wali. وَلَكِمْ مَتَّعْتَهُمْ وَآبَاؤُهُمْ حَتَّى نَسُوا الذِّكْرَ وَكَانُوا قَوْمًا بُورًا. And they will say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will all be standing there. They will say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, they and their forefathers were rich people. Allah given them riches because, and they thought, well, you know, because we do what we do, you know, we become, Allah's given us all this now. Because shaitan makes you think to connect the two. Because you went there, something happened in your business, you made more business. You didn't ascribe the business to Allah, rizq, no. You say, because I made dua there at that grave. This is why my cancer is gone. So you're completely in a world of your own shirk. You don't ascribe nothing to Allah. Your health, no, it's not Allah. That man. Your health is not Allah. It is this thing hanging around your neck. Your health and your wealth is not Allah. It is what's knocked behind your door in a small paper. Or a photograph hanging in your lounge of some peer. You have entirely put Allah aside. And His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what happens? What does these people say? They say to oh Allah, they got so much. They lived so well. Hatta nasu dhikra. Until they forgot the dhikr. What dhikr? Did you make Thursday night? No. Until they forget the dhikr, what is wala dhikrullahi akbar? What does it mean? Allah says, the remembrance of Allah is the greatest. What remembrance? This. They forgot Quran. Because now they do what? That dead man has got a living man that represents him on the dunya. He says, make 1,000 of this, make 500 of that, make 300 of that, 500 of this, on that time, at that time. And what do they forget to do? They forget to read the Quran of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَنَسُ الذِّكْرَ. Nasu, they forgot. Nasu means they forgot. Al-dhikra, the Quran. Wakanu qawman bura. And they strayed from the path. What path? They strayed from the Sirat al-Mustaqim. I hope I make it very clear to you, my dear brothers. Why? You say that Sheikh keeps on preaching. I want to be free of my responsibility on the day of Qiyamah. Allah will call me. He will say, did you? I say, ya Rabb, I used your Quran and I tried to convince them. And in my last two verses, verse 27 and 28 of the same surah, Surah Al-Furqan, the 25th surah. And I want you to read it, of course, that's your homework. That's your barakah. To go after the lecture, to open the Quran after Dhuhr Salah, and to look into the Quran to read, that's your barakah. That shows that you've connected with the ayah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Connected with the words. You've heard Allah speak to you and you're connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what we want. We want to have that connection with Allah. How? By having a connection with the Quran and understanding the Quran. وَيَوْمَ يَعُدُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَىٰ يَدَيْهِ يَقُولُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the day that the wrongdoer will bite at his hands. People chew their nails. What day is that? Day of Qiyamah. The wrongdoer will bite his hands. يَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِ اتَّخَذْتُ مَعَ الرَّسُولِ السَّبِيلَ. What does he say? He said, I wish I had taken the way of the Rasul. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, why didn't I take the way of the Rasul? Allah sent me the Rasul. I followed everybody besides the Rasul. If only I'd, what does Allah mean by Rasul? It means to follow the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, wish, man, ya Allah, now it's too late. He's biting his hands on Al-Qiyamah. يَا وَيْلَتَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أَتَّخِذْ فُلَانًا خَلِيلًا. What does he say? He says, woe on me. Ooh, you know, I feel so sorry for myself. He says, why did I take such a person as my friend? Because that's where the problem starts. Somebody speaks and says, go with me, man. Go with me. Go with me on Thursday night, you know. Between Isha and Fajr, don't worry. Go with me, you know. You got a problem, go with me. Now in Qiyamah, he says, why did I take that man as my friend? He didn't lead me to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He led me to some other place, some other people, besides Allah and his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he will say, لَقَدْ أَضَلَّنِي عَنِ الذِّكْرِ بَعْدَ إِذْ جَاءَنِي. And he says, I was misled عَنِ الذِّكْرِ from the Qur'an. After I had the Qur'an, after I knew the Quran, I knew what the Quran says, I knew the Quran was my salvation, I turned away from the Quran. وَكَانَ الشَّيْطَانُ لِلْإِنسَانِ خَذُولًا. And verily, shaitan is our biggest enemy. وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ. And the Nabi ﷺ will be standing there with us and with him on the plain of Qiyamah. And what will the Nabi say? وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ. And the messenger will say, يَا رَبِّي. Oh my Lord, إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. لا إله إلا الله. What will the Prophet, what will be the evidence the Prophet will put on the table for the misguidance of his people, of his ummah? He will say, oh my Lord, my people, they took this Quran as a joke. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. They took it as a, just the Quran, you read it for barakah. Somebody dies, you read the Quran. The Prophet will bear witness that we've taken this Quran. We haven't taken it seriously. We say, there's always another opinion. You say that, Faik says that, but there's another opinion. There are a million ways to get, million paths to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only one path. La ilaha illallah. So, my brothers and sisters, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the simplicity of deen. When we find the simplicity of our deen, we will find the taste of our deen. We will see the beauty of our deen. Because we will see it in daylight. Nobody says switch the light off and then you'll see anything. No. يُخْرِجُهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. Allah says, the believers, the do-gooders, I will take them from darkness into light. And what do? We take people from light into darkness. When we mention Allah, when we make our dhikr, what do? We switch the light off. Allah says, dhikr is supposed to bring us from darkness into light. We go from light into darkness. This is, of course, physical light and darkness. But it's a reflection of the fact that we are not on the Sirat al-Mustaqim. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us, inshallah, the tawfiq and our children, children's children, that we hand down this banner of Tawheed, al-Uluhiyya, al-Rububiyya, al-Sifat, wal-Asma. Wallahu ta'ala alam. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته.